To review the background from the Gemara records a request that Esther had of the Chachamim in her generation, Kisvuni Ledoros, that Megillas Esther should be included in Kisvei Kodesh and Tanakh, and the Chachamim responded that that's impossible based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Alo Kasafti Alach Shileshim. Shileshim lo ribeim, that according to what Rashi explains, that the concept of Amalek can only be mentioned three times and not four times. And it was already mentioned three times, twice in the Torah, and once in Nevi'im with Shaul HaMelech. So there was no room to mention another instantiation of the age-old battle against Amalek. Ad shamata lo mikra kasa b'Torah, until they found a remez in the Torah, ultimately combining the two times that appears in the Torah into one, and then the instantiation in Tanakh and Shmuel as number two, and therefore leaving room for a third instantiation of the battle against Amalek as expressed in the Megillah as the third. And that's our psak, that Esther is, Megillah Esther is part of Kisvei HaKodesh. But the Gemara records that not everyone agreed with this, Ketanoi, that was the position of Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i, but Rabbi Yoshua understands, again, based on a different reading of the psukim, counting the instantiation of the battle against Amalek mentioned in the Torah as two, and then the one in Shmuel is the third, as we mentioned before, and no room for Megillas Esther being part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Gemara then continues to state that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that Esther is not Mitama Sayadayim, which is the halacha, the chamva goes there for reasons I'm not going to now, that when one touches Kisvei HaKodesh, so he has to wash Tilsidayim before doing things that require Tara, such as eating Truma, etc. And Esther, by not being with Tamas Yadayim, means that Esther is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So, sounds at first glance that Shmuel is aligning himself with Rabbi Yeshua's position, I mentioned earlier, against Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i, and holding both Shmuel, like Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana, that Esther is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And then the Gemara, though, says that Shmuel himself had stated that Esther was stated Baruch HaKodesh. Later on in the Gemara records, based on Kima V'Kibla Yehudim, more about that later in a subsequent Tosis, that it was stated Baruch HaKodesh with a minor level of divine inspiration. And so doesn't that imply that it is part of Kisvei HaKodesh? Isn't that the definition of what's included in Kisvei HaKodesh? Things that are written either b'nevuah, with a prophecy, a high level of the divine communication, or the lower level of Ruach HaKodesh. But to which the Gemara concludes, Amar Shmuel, Esther b'Ruach HaKodesh Nemra, Nemra Likros, v'lo Nemra Lichtov. That the contents and text of the words of Megillas Esther were divinely inspired, but they were only given over to be read and studied, not to write down. So on a simple level, and that's what Tosfos is going to develop, it sounds like that this opinion is that we're not allowed to write Megillas Esther scrolls. Farshim explained that if there's no, it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, then it's part of Torah Sheval Peh, the oral law, and the oral law is not supposed to be written down. So Tosfos writes, Mashma, this implies the Savar, the Mutar L'Kros Al Peh, that if Esther is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, simply implying that one is not allowed to write it down. So, but everyone agrees that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah. So it sounds like you'll be reading it Bal Peh, by heart, and not from a text. Mashma the Savar, the Mutar L'Kros Al Peh. Bekosha Estosis. The Heichi Palig, Al Stam Mishnah de la Kamon, the Perek Beis. How could Shmuel, the Amora, argue on a Stam Mishnah that's written later in the beginning of the second parak that one who reads the Megillah Tani or the Tanan, Kra al Peh lo Yotza, that one who reads the Megillah by heart is not Yotze. So how could Shmuel argue on that Stam Mishnah? So presumably what Tosis is driving at, Ritva points out, who also deals with this question, that Shmuel aligns himself with the view of Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that Esther is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and it's possible that it's a machlokas tanoi, that Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana, also holds that you're supposed to read the Megillah Baal Peh and by heart, and not from from a text. And Shmuel agrees with that Tana, so therefore he could argue on the Star Mishnah. But Tosis doesn't want to go that route, presumably, because it's difficult to say that Shmuel the Amora is arguing on the Star Mishnah, even if he's aligning himself with the Tana Rabbi Shua, because it's difficult to say that Rabbi Shua is arguing on the Star Mishnah. It's not a simple reading. The Gemara doesn't state that Rabbi Shua holds you're allowed to read the Megillah Baal Peh. Presumably, that's why Tosis didn't want to go that route. And Tosis continues to add more questions. Rav Nami, who the Omer Lekamon, Chetzarach Lekosva, Letofa Begidin. The Gemara in Testament Aleph records the opinion of Rav that the Megillah has to be sewn with the sinews of an animal, similar to a Sefer Torah, even though there are certain leniencies regarding the Megillah that we don't have regarding a Sefer Torah in terms of how many stitches you need, but it clearly is requiring a ksiva. Rabbi Yochanan Nami Omer, Dim Kro'a Bein Aksuvim, or Bach Imen's based on the Gemara, Ksuva Bein Aksuvim. If you have one large scroll that includes many Sfarim of the Tanakh and includes Megillah Esther, and you read it from that large scroll, so you're not Yotzei. Unfortunately, explain, because it's not noticeable that you're doing it for the sake of the miracle. So Rashi says, I'll give other interpretations, but it's certainly the direct implication of all of these statements is both according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, has to be written down. And you're reading it from that which is written down, and that is totally disqualified to read it Baal Peh. So how could Shmuel, even allied with Rabbi Yeshua, argue on the Stam Mishnah, on these major Amaroyim, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? It's very unusual to assume, without the Gemara pointing out, that there's a machlokis going on against all of these Tanoim and Amaroyim, that Shmuel stands alone. That's the Kasha the Tosis and the other Rishonim ask on Shmuel's words, again, that seem to imply that the Megillah is just not written down at all. L'chach nir al-farish. So Tosis says, therefore, it appears to explain, that which Shmuel says that it's not permitted to write it down, it's not given over literally to write it down, but Ruach HaKodesh, that it's not to be written down as a work that the level of divine inspiration permits not only the content as being holy content, but that it should be written down as Ruach HaKodesh, meaning as part of Tanakh. Avamid Rabbanan, but rabbinically, nitn lekasev vilikros, but rabbinically, the Chachamim ordained that it should be written down in order to be able to read it from a text. Nitn lekasev vilikros, to write it down in order to read it, because the Chachamim did not want it to be read Baal Peh, they want it to be read from a text, and therefore there's a permit to write it down. So Tosis answers that Shmuel, at first glance, seems to be saying that the Megillah is not written down at all, and he points out that no, everyone agrees the Megillah is written down. The only question is, what status does the writing of Megillah's Esther have? Shmuel's opponents, who maintain that Esther is Metamei Asidayim, maintain that it's part of Kisvei Kodesh, that it was given not only as holy words, inspired holy words, but there was permission granted to write down those words, Beruach HaKodesh, as part of the sanctified texts of what was known as the canon, as Sifrei Tanakh. But Shmuel maintains that it's not part of Sifrei Tanakh, it's just holy words, but you're still able to write it down, rabbinically, in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah. So since, according to Shmuel, it's at least written down on a rabbinic level in order to be able to read it from a text, so that it answers all the difficulties, that even Shmuel agrees to the Mishnah that you're now allowed to read the Megillah Baal Peh, and he agrees to Rav's statement that it has to be written down and sewn with Gidim, and he agrees to Rabbi Yochanan's statement that if you read the Megillah as part of a longer scroll that includes other Sfarim of Tanakh, you're not Yotzei, because the common denominator between all three is assumes that the Megillah has to be written down, and indeed it does have to be written down, although not as part of Kisvei Kodesh, but just in order to be able to fulfill properly the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. So Tosis, and the other Rishonim as well, ask an additional question. Vakati Kosha, still difficult. Tamrinan Beferek, the Bach modifies just in terms of the normal name of the Perek. Amalahem Hamamuna, Masechta Yoma, Tavchav Tesemer Aleph, Nimshla Esther, Layela Sashacha. Let's give a little background. This is Mizmar, I believe, Chav Bet in Tehillim. And that, as we mentioned in a previous year, is known as the Mizmar of Esther Malka. And the Gemara darshans it concerning various episodes in the story of Megillas Esther in terms of her praying to Hashem, and she felt that the Shekhinah left her as she was approaching Ahasuerus to pray for the Jewish people. She exclaims, Keli Keli Lama Savtani. That's a Gemara later on Tesvav and Mebeis, which is referenced by Rashi and Masechta Yoma. And the Gemara earlier on Davdala and Aleph discussed the halacha of repeating the Megillah twice, and it derived it from a pasuk also, and that Mizmor Elo Kai Ekro Yamam Velo Sanev Velayla Velo Dumiali. So it's known as the Mizmor Vester Malka, right? In the Sfarim, Kava Yashar is quoted that it's especially appropriate to say that Mizmor on Tainus Esther and the Minhag Gros to recite that on Purim instead of the regular Shir Shel Yom. So the Gemara says that if the Mizmor begins, Lam Natzeach Al Yelas HaShachar, so somehow Esther is being compared to the dawn, the Yelas HaShachar reference to the dawn. So what is that comparison? Ma Shachar Sof HaLayla Af Esther Sof HaNisim. Just as the dawn is the end of the night, so too the events in Esther's life and the great salvation of the Jewish people then was the end of miracles. So the Gemara says the Parach, the difficulty of Ha'ika Chanukah, there was also the miracle of Chanukah. Mashani, the Gemara answers, Nitein Lekosev Ka'amar, that when we say that Esther is compared to the morning, that just like the morning is the end of the night, so too Esther is the end of the miracles, it's referring to those miracles that one writes down. And Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, is not written down. There's no Megillas Chanukah, even though there are traditional Megillot that they say were written in the days of the Gaonim or the Rishonim, and one is called Megillas Antiochus, and then there's a Book of the Maccabees, which is part of the outside of Tanakh works, what's called the Apocrypha, but it's that doesn't count. More about that later as to why not. Mishani niten likasev ka'amar, that Esther is unique, that it's written down. Uparach, so the Gemara asks, Sani chalamanda amar, Nitin Likosev, simply speaking, a reference to the machlokas that we have in our Gemara between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Lazar and Modai, with Shmuel simply speaking siding with the Rabbi Shua. Hani Chalamanda Nitin Likosev, that would be Rabbi Lazar Modai, that is given over to be written down. Ela Lamanda Omar Lo Nitin Likosev, that's not given over to be written down. You're not allowed to write it down. Maik Lameimar, what are you going to say? Because then the miracle of Purim, which Esther was the heroine of, is on equal footing with Chanukah, because both of them are not written down. So why is the miracle of Purim led by Esther? Why is it compared to Shachar, the end of the miracles? But there are other miracles that are not written down. And the only uniqueness of Esther is written down, but according to the opinion that it's not allowed to be written down, so then it should be the equivalent of Chanukah. So the Bach adds in the a reference to the answer of the Gemara that they learned something else in the name of Binyamin Ben Yefes from that pasuk. So Tosis is stuck with a question that he just pointed out, that even according to the opinion of Shmuel, which seems to be in accordance with the view of the Tana of Yeshua, that Esther is not written down. That means it's not written down Baruch HaKodesh, meaning it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, it's not part of Tanakh. But it's still written down with respect to the halacha that we're supposed to read the Megillah from a text. So if that's the case, then how could the Gemara state that there's any opinion that Megillah Esther is not meant to be written down? Everyone holds supposed to be written down in some capacity, either as part of Kisvei HaKodesh or not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, but it's still written down. So Tosis proposes an answer, which he then rejects. Ain Lomar. First, let's appreciate the proposed answer. Daha deniten likosev midrabanan kariksiva. That what is this proposed answer? That the Gemara had two possibilities. If Megillas Esther is this a permit to write it down, so then we understand how that's distinct from Chanukah. Esther is a miracle that is a written miracle, and Chanukah is a miracle that's just an oral miracle, if we could call it that. And then we understand why Esther is compared to the morning, because it's the end of the higher level miracles that are meant to be written down. But if we maintain, like, the view that Esther cannot be written down. So then it's equivalent to Hanukkah. So the proposed answer is, as the way the commentaries of Masha and others explain, that we misunderstood that Gemara. Nithin l'kasev doesn't mean to be able to be written down as part of Tanakh, and lo nithin l'kasev mean that it's not part of Tanakh, but rather, nithin l'kasev means that there's a permit to write down, either as part of Tanakh, or rabbinically, not as part of Tanakh, which is what Tosa says, the hadin nithin l'kasev, the rabbanan karik siva, that's that opinion, and that then we'd understand the difference between Purim and Hanukkah, because Purim is written down, Hanukkah is not. But if we hold that Megillas Esther is not able to be written down, meaning, this is the way, again, the Marsha explains, a new opinion, the opinion that Tosis wasn't willing to maintain existed, but perforce, perhaps we'll have to say that in order to resolve that Gemara, this is an opinion that Esther is not written down at all, not as part of Kisvei Kodesh, and not Midrabanan. So one of the Mefarshim in the back, by the name of Teferis Lamoshe, explains that was the position represented by the Havamina. When Shmuel said that Esther is not Matamis Yadayim, so the Gemara said, does Shmuel maintain that Esther was not written Baruch HaKodesh, was not stated Baruch HaKodesh? So that opinion, which the Gemara rejects, but that opinion, a theoretical opinion that Esther wasn't stated Baruch HaKodesh, would maintain that it's not written down at all. So, according to that opinion, that Esther's not written down at all, so then we have a difficulty that it's equivalent to Hanukkah, and therefore, a question being why is Esther compared to the morning being the end of the night? It's not really the end of the miracles, it's another miracle of Hanukkah. That's the proposed answer. So that the Nitin Likasev proposal in the Gemara could include the view that it's given over, there's a permit to write it down rabbinically. Of course, Marshall points out, you have to invent a new opinion that doesn't seem to at least survive in the Gemara. But either way, Tosis says that even if you want to say such an opinion, but imkain, if so, hadra kushan l'dufta. But then we're going to go back to our original difficulty. Because if the idea of nitin l'kasev also is referring to the idea of being able to written down midrabanan, if Esther is not unique in being part of Tanakh, part of Kisvei Kodesh, the holy writings, so then it's just you're able to write it down in order to be able to read it. So Hanukkah also has a status of being able to be written down. The Megillas Tainis, to recall, is the collection of various minor holidays that were largely celebrated in the days of the Bayit Sheni, which include the Hanukkah and Purim. The Hanukkah and Purim are the only survivors. And it briefly describes the Chana miracle. So even though we don't read it, but it is written down in a work, Rashi even points out, and I think it's after Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere, Tainis, that it's called a Megillah because it was written down. Unlike other aspects of Torah Sheval Peh, which were not written down, this is called a Megillah. So if you're going to maintain that the first approach that that Esther is unique because it's nitin l'kasev and Hanukkah is not nitin l'kasev, but if the whole way in which, or the mandate to write the Megillah down is rabbinically and not and with the power of Ruach HaKodesh as part of Kisvei HaKodesh, so rabbinically, both the Megillah's Esther and quote-unquote the Megillah's Hanukkah, in a certain sense, the Megillah's Tainis that tells the story of Hanukkah, also appears in writing. So now we're back to our question, Hadrukosh L'duchta, of how Esther is different from Hanukkah. So Tosis gives the following answer. V'tirit Harav L'chonan, d'chsiva de Megillah mahanya tfei, that the writing of the Megillah is more effective, more valued, if you will, the hatzricha gitin v'sirtut. It requires the sinews to be sewn up, the various pieces of parchment, as Tosis mentioned earlier, from the Gemara later in Yud Testament Aleph. It also requires sirtut, meaning to scratch the cleft in order to be able to write the letters very straight, just as we do with the Sefer Torah. The Gemara derives that from a pasuk in Megillah, the Reish Shalom V'mes, Kamita Shel Torah, that the Megillah requires sirtut just like the Torah itself. That's the Gemara, I think, on Tesayin and Beis. V'cham Advarim, the Lo Tzrichi, Megillah's Tainis, and other things as well that are not required for the writing of Megillah's Tainis. There's no halachos as to how to write the various minor holidays and the miracles that and the salvations that led to their celebrations in the Megillas Tanis. It could be printed by art scroll, by anybody. Anybody has no halach of klaf, there's no halach of sirtut, or gidin. So even though they're both written down, quote unquote, rabbinically, but one has halachos that has to be rabbinically written down with a certain structure. The other is just bottom line writing down. So what Rav Chanan is maintaining is that if Megillah is part of Kisrei HaKodesh, then of course it's much higher than Hanukkah, nothing to talk about. But even if we say that Nitnali Kasev, which is the way he's interpreting the Gemara in Yoma, that the opinion of Nitnali Kasev, distinguishing between Megillah Esther and the story of Hanukkah, that even if that includes also the opinion that you're able to write it down rabbinically, that also puts it on a higher footing than Hanukkah. The Kasha of Tosis was that they're on equal footing. They're both being able to be written down rabbinically. If you hold Megillah Esther is not part of Kisrei HaKodesh, then it's equivalent. So he points out, no, that even if Megillah Esther is only written down rabbinically, but it still has halachos that are associated with it that are not relevant to Megillah's Tainus, and therefore that puts the miracles in the days of Esther on a higher level than the miracles of Hanukkah, because it's written down with certain halachos. Of course, you have to work out on an Ian level what exactly the svar is. If it's a miracle of Kisrei HaKodesh, that's a very high level idea that becomes, in a certain sense, equivalent to other svarim of Tanakh. But if it's just written down rabbinically and it has certain halachas to it, why should that put the miracle of the episode of the events of Purim on a higher footing than Hanukkah? So that you need to work on exactly why that should be.
Yeah, Gos Yaivitz from Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara provides an insightful understanding of this Tosfos, that what Rav Chanan perhaps is driving at is the fact that there are halachos concerning the writing of the Megillah, among them that it requires the Gidim and the Sirtut, is all indicative of the fact that it was ordained to read in public, as we know, the famous mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And that contrasts with Megillah's Tainus, which, although it records the various salvations and miracles that we celebrate, including the festival of Hanukkah, but there's no obligation to read the Megillah's Tainus on Hanukkah. And that which we mentioned earlier, that even though in the times of the Gaonim and the Rishonim, that various scrolls were put together, so to speak, Megillas Antiochus, and earlier in the days of the Hashmonite dynasty, the Book of the Maccabees, but none of these were ordained by the Chachamim to read in public, and that's why they never ordained any halachos of Gidim and Sirtut concerning these quote-unquote Megillot. So perhaps that's what Tosis is driving at, that Purim is a higher level miracle in the sense that there was a rabbinic ordinance to read it in public, as opposed to Hanukkah, where there's no such halacha, even though we tell over the story traditionally to our children, and students, etc. And the Rambam records it as well in the Mishnah Torah, quoting the Gemara and Shabbos, but there's no halacha that has to be read, and as such, it's considered a lower level miracle.
But what emerges from this answer of Tosis, that in order to resolve this question, he reads the Gemara in Yoma in a somewhat unusual way, not the simple way, that Nitnali Kasev means either as part of Kisrei HaKodesh or rabbinically, and then either way it's different from Hanukkah, either because it's Kisrei HaKodesh versus not being part of Tanakh, Purim versus Hanukkah, or it's written rabbinically with certain halachas, even if it's not part of Tanakh, and Hanukkah's not. And that, then we understand why the events of Purim are unique. But Lo Nitnali Kasev, the Gemara in Yoma, which leads to a question leading to having to interpret the pasuk of Lamdan Seicha Yelatz Shachar in a different way, as not necessarily referring to Esther Malka and Esther being compared to the dawn. So that's lonely kaseh, that opinion is this mysterious phantom opinion that the Megillah is not written down at all, which presumably would mean that you even read it bal peh, against the Mishnah and all the other Amoraim that was quoted earlier. But that seems to be the price that Rav Chanan is willing to pay, and even though he points out it's not the mainstream view, and as he's unwilling to have Shmuel hold that way, but there is an opinion like that, and that's the dynamic of the Gemara and Yoma trying to resolve that opinion as well. What we find in the Tosas HaRosh, and the parallel Tosas, as well as the Ritva and others, that they give a simpler answer, interesting to explore why Tosafot didn't go that route, that it's all a matter of a relativity, that when the Gemara said that it's nitin likasev, that's clearly a reference they maintain to the fact that it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's the position of Rav Elazar HaModoi and those who agree with him, and that's actually the way we paskin. And Chanukah is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, even though Chanukah is written down as well in the Megillas Tainis, but it's totally not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. When the Gemara says lo nitin likasev, which was what led to Tosas Kasha, what do you mean the nitin likasev? But everyone holds that the Megillah is written down in some capacity, either the Ruach HaKodesh or Midr Rabbanan. So how could the Gemara call it lo nitin likasev? The Rishonim explained the nitin likasev means that it's not, there's no permit to write it down as part of Kisvei HaKodesh, as part of the holy writings. The fact that you could write it down, even though it has halachos of Gidin and Sirtut, and similar in some ways to even a Sefer Torah, but it's not part of Tanakh. And a miracle that is not part of Tanakh does not have the same level sanctity or centrality and importance as miracles that are not part of Tanakh. It's a much higher level miracle. So if you're going to then ask, but Chanukah could also be written down, and that's exactly what the Gemara was asking, that if the Megillah is not part of Tanakh, even though it's written down in a Sefer, so then it's on equal footing with Chanukah. The fact that you have the distinctions that Megillah Esther has halachos associated with it, and Megillah Tainis does not have halachos associated with it, that is not a sufficient distinction, according to the analysis of the Gemara and Yoma, the way the Rishonim explained, the Ritva and the Taisus HaRosh, to qualify Esther as a higher level miracle. So it's somewhat of a mystery why Tosfos didn't take that approach. It's an addendum to this Tosfos. Tosfos, in the very beginning, spoke about the simple implication of the Gemara that Shmuel maintains that you could read the Megillah Baal Peh, and then he rejects that understanding based on the various difficulties that he raised. The Ritva points out, and perhaps Tosfos himself was alluding to that, that at first glance, at least, that seems to be exactly what Rashi holds. Because Rashi writes in Dibur Maschil, Huda Makir Veshua, at the end, Aval v'Megillah lo nitna likasev ela legorsa al peh v'lekrosa, which simply speaking, Rashi is stating that it's not given to be written down at all. You could only learn it bal peh, like other aspects of Torah shebal peh, v'lekrosa, and to read it. Again, simply speaking, bal peh. So the approach that Tosis raises and rejects very well could be the approach of Rashi. And that seems to be that Ritva understood this Rashi, even though he concludes, similar to the Tosis idea, that at least rabbinically it's written down in order to be able to read it. I was just thinking that perhaps we could understand the Rashi in a way that accords with the view of the other Rishonim. The way we should read it is, Rashi didn't say legorsa to learn it, vilikros and to read it alpe. He wrote legorsa alpe vilikrosa. That they had two ideas. One is the aspect of learning that, and as is well known, we're not allowed to write down Torah shel bal peh, at least in the ideal level, unless we're worried that the whole Torah is going to be forgotten, as that's why we do it nowadays. So in terms of learning, we're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh, and we're not allowed to, the opposite, to say by heart Torah Shebasav. So Rashi's telling us that if, according to Shmuel, it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, that when you learn the Megillah, Legor Sal Peh, you have to learn it Bal Peh, just like a Gemara. And then Rashi writes a different idea, Vilikrosa, that yes, you have to write it down in order to read it, because there are halachos that you're not allowed to read the Megillah Bal Peh, as Tosas proves in various Gemaros. So it has to be written down in order to be able to be Yotzei the mitzvah of reading. But since it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh, you can't learn from the Megillah. You'd have to learn it Baal Peh, and you could read it from the scroll in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So perhaps that's the Diak Lashon of Rashi, where you put the word Al Peh in between the two words Lagorsa and Lakrosa. The Lagorsa is going on the learning, and that's done Baal Peh, and the Kriya is done Mitoch HaKsav, as all the Gemaras indicate, as a din that's unique to the rules of Mikra Megillah.
Tosas de Rimaschil, Lechulu Ika Pircha,
Bar Midishmo. The Bachi is in a word, Lechulu Amaroi, Ika Pircha Bar Midishmo. To recall, the Gemara had various Tanoim and Amaroim's opinions presented as to how we see from various verses in Megillah Sesta that was written by Ruach HaKodesh that the various players knew things that they couldn't have known had they just relied on human wisdom. So the Gemara concludes in the name of Rava that all of these various proposals given by these different Tanaim and Amroim all have kashis on them, that the various things that were attributed to Ruach HaKodesh that it couldn't be figured out by human wisdom, maybe we could have been doche and stated that they could have been figured out through human wisdom. Just as an example, one of the opinions is that Mordechai was able to know the plot against Achashverosh of Bigson and Seresh with Ruach HaKodesh. So Gemara points out that it's another approach could have been that he understood their language that they were talking about because he was a member of the Sanhedrin and they know all the languages and so on and so forth, and they didn't realize that he understood. But Shmuel's approach, which is from the verse Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, which Shmuel interprets to mean Kimu lamala mashakiblu lamata, that down below they accepted the holiday of Purim, the Jewish people, and Kimu up above, the way I think we could explain Kimu means they certified or verified it, just like the Gemara has an expression Kiyam Shtaris, where the Beis Din certifies a document and verifies the signatures. It verified the takana of the holiday of Purim. So how could Mordechai and Esther have known that, what's going on in the heavens, unless they had Ruach HaKodesh? So Rava comments that L'chulam Roy, Ikepircha, Bar Midishmo, all the other opinions in terms of the how they knew certain things could have been attributed to human wisdom, but there's no way to know what's going on in the heavens just through human wisdom without Ruach HaKodesh. The Tosafot says the following kasha. Isn't there a difficulty on Shmuel's opinion as well? The kasha de l'Shmuel mi l'kapircha. Isn't there a kasha as well? The harava gufei hu de omar perek Rabbi Akiva. Rav himself in the ninth perek of Masechta Shabbos, very famous Agadata concerning Matan Torah, oftentimes learned for Shavuos, Shabbos to Pei Ches Men Aleph. We'll read the parentheses. Mikan Modor Rabbi Leraisa, Shekiblu Sheinis, Bimei Achashverosh. Again, the background of that very famous Gemara is that the Gemara points out that Kofalim Harkigigis, because it says that the Jewish people were B'tachtisahar, that they were under the mountain, according to the Medrash. That the mountain was held over them, and Hashem told them, if you receive the Torah, great, mutav, and if not, sham take for aschem, you'll be buried here. So they were forced to receive the Torah. So the Gemara asks, isn't that a modah rabba l'raisa? A modah is where someone is able to nullify a sale or a transaction based on a claim of the fact that he was forced into it. So isn't that true of a matan Torah, that our whole acceptance of the Torah was under duress and therefore not binding? So the Gemara concludes that don't worry, shekiblu sheinis v'mei achashverosh. Had the kiblu v'mei achashverosh in Aramaic, the original language of the Gemara, they received it again, they accepted it again in the days of Achashverosh. Rashi explains, mitoch avasaneis, because of the great feeling of love toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the great miracles he performed for them by literally saving the entire Jewish nation whose destiny was at, whose fate was at stake. So they realigned themselves with the whole body of Torah mitzvos, and he learns that from Kimu v'kiblu ayhudim. So Rava darshins that as Kimu v'kiblu ayhudim Kimu masha kiblu kvar. So presumably there the Kimu meaning that they reaffirmed that which they already had accepted. Earlier, Shmuel was interpreting Kimu as the heavens. They had verified and certified the Purim holiday. Here, Rav is interpreting it in a somewhat different way, that the Jewish people, Kimu v'kiblu ayudim, Kimu masha kiblu kvar. They reaffirmed themselves like renewal of vows to another acceptance of the Torah. And that was done willfully, and therefore that mitigated the forced acceptance in the days of Matan Torah. So Alma, so this implies, the Itzrich Krol Drosh Achrina. So we're darshaning Kima v'Kivlin in a totally different way from the way Shmuel darshans here. So how could Rava say, as Rava himself, Rava the one who confirmed the Shmuel as being the best Rasha here to show that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh, was stated Baruch HaKodesh, and Rav himself uses it for a different Rasha, so it's not a Kasha and Shmuel. The Tosa says, Yishlomar, the Lachoshev Hai Pircha, that this does not present a difficulty, doesn't consider it to be a difficulty. The Hoshapir Shamina Minotarti, since one can derive Shamina Minotarti, you could derive two things from it. From the same verse, you could derive two things. Below Dami Hai Pircha Lashar Pirchos. And this is not similar to any of the other kashas that they ask. The Enoch, this Lodami Hai Pircha, Lishar Pirchos the Enoch. This difficulty that you have another drasha as well that has to be derived from this pasuk is not similar to all the other pirchas that are asked on the other Tanoim and Amroim, the Enoch of the others. The Sasar Sorosim Lagamri, because that totally destroys their Svara, as we gave the example concerning Bigson and Seresh and Mordechai knowing their plot, and the same thing concerning all the others in terms of the various things that were supposed to have been figured out through Ruach HaKodesh. So if one could suggest, no, they could have been figured out through human wisdom. So that destroys the Svara altogether. But just saying there's another drasha, so that doesn't really serve as a kasha, because you can learn two things from the pasuk. How do you learn two things in the pasuk? So the question that's raised by Tosas is raised by a number of other Tosas in Ishas. So on the margin, they point that our Gemara is quoted in Chagiga, the Yudam and Aleph, the Tosas over there, provides for us perhaps what Tosa is driving at here as well, that the drasha of Rava in Masech de Shabbos is primarily focusing on the fact that there are two similar phrases. It says Kima v'kibla Yehudim, Kima mashakiblu kvar, that they reaffirmed that which they already in the days of Mordechai and Esther, that which they already had accepted in the days of Matan Torah. But the drasha of Shmuel is actually focusing on not just the redundancy of the words, but the fact that the words are different. Kimo masha kiblu kvar, kimo, as we said earlier, like kim shtaris, that they certified in heaven that which the Jews accepted. So the drasha and Shabbos is really just from the redundancy of words. And if so, if that were the only drasha that we wanted to derive from that, it could have said kimu v'kimu ha'yehudim, the same word twice. In other words, that they fulfilled that which they already had fulfilled in the days of Har Sinai, or kiblu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, they accepted that which they already had accepted at Har Sinai. Could have said the same word twice, and that would tell you the reacceptance of the Torah mitzvos. But the fact that it says two different words, not just an extra word, but two different words, kiblu v'kiblu, that teaches the drasha of Shmuel. That they certified in heaven that which they had accepted down below. Other Tosafot give different answers, that even though it is Akasha, you have to work it out somehow, maybe, but it's not a fundamental Kasha. It's similar to our Tosafot, but it doesn't really get involved in the fact that it's possible to learn both in the same verse. But that's not such a strong Kasha, probably alluding to the fact that maybe you could learn the teaching of Rava from another verse. The Cheshek Shlomo in one of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara quotes a beautiful pshat in the name of the Vilna Gaon, different from the Tosin Chagiga, that the way we're able to derive both drushes from one verse is because it happens to be that there's a Kriyan Ksiv. We read it as Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, but in the Megillah itself it actually says Kimu v'kibel ha'yehudim. So the Gra says beautifully that the plural reading, which is the way we actually read it, Kimu v'kiblu, that's how we get Shmuel's drasha. That Kimu, they certified in the heavens that which they accepted down below. And the idea of Kimu v'kibel ayehudim is a reference to Rava's idea. Because if it's true that the Jews didn't really accept the Torah at Har Sinai willfully, so who did accept it willfully? Moshe Rabbeinu, he certainly accepted it willfully. So Kemu, in plural, the Jews in the days of Mordechai and Esther, reaccepted the Torah, Masha Kibel, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that which Moshe Rabbeinu had been the only one to accept it willingly in the days of Har Sinai. So with that, with the Kri and the Ksiv, one could actually have both drushes. Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Rav Nachman Omar Mehocha, V'zichron L'Yosef Mizarah. The very end of this particular sugya, so the Gemara records another suggestion as to how we know that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Yosef learns it out from the verse, V'mei Purim Ha'ele lo yavru mitoch Yehudim, that the days of Purim will always be celebrated. How could you know it'll always be celebrated? Maybe there'll be a time they'll abolish Purim or they won't celebrate it. Maybe the Jews will stop celebrating Purim. So must be, they had Ruach HaKodesh that they'll know that throughout all eternity, the Jews are always going to celebrate Purim. So that same basic idea is derived by Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak from a different verse in the Megillah. V'zichrom lo yosef mizarum, that the remembrance of these events will never stop from their descendants. Same idea, but from different verses. Either v'imei ha'purim eilo yavrum etoch Yehudim, or v'zichrom lo yosef mizarum. So Tosis tries to fill in why Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak didn't like the drasha of Rav Yosef. It's already going in the same basic approach, the idea of that the Purim will always be celebrated. So why not learn it from Lo Yavru Mitoch Yehudim instead of from Zichron Yosef Mizarah? So Tos explains the Vereisha Dekra. Rav Yosef's drasha is the earlier part of that verse that Rav Nachman's quoting. The Vereisha Dekra, the Lo Yavru Mitoch Yehudim Lo Chazina and Ela Yehudim Shavos Ador. We only see the Jews in that generation. Lo Yavrum Mitoch Yehudim, that Mordechai and Esther are saying that the Jews in that generation are going to keep Purim. How do you know he's referring to all generations? Rav Yosef held it was all generations, all the Jews. But Rav Nachman suggested that all he had was that verse, and it would only refer to the Jews in that generation, and therefore you need V'zichrom Lo Yosef Mizarum, which is clearly referring to the descendants, as it says Zarum, and not Yehudim.